Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a very beautiful incident which is found in the books of narration. Many narrators have narrated it. And it is a very heartwarming and faith-refreshing narration. It has been stated that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk in the streets of Makkatul Mukarramah, there was a certain tree, there was a certain stone which would say, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." And in another narration by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that there was not a single tree, there was not a single stone, except it would recite salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the beauty of this story is that many years later, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with his companions, migrated from Al-Makkatul Mukarramah to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sat with his companions. And he says that there was a stone in Makkah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara is remembering a stone in Makkatul Mukarramah. And he says that there was a stone in Makkah. Every time I would walk past it, it would recite salam upon me. The scholars write that the beauty of this story is a senseless, a motionless, a speechless, a non-living thing, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk past it, when it would come into connection with the body of Rasulullah, when the fragrance of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would bless the stone would come to life and it would recite salam upon the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many years later in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, remembers that stone. So the scholars say, how beautiful is the memory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that many years later he remembers a stone which recited salat upon him. Then imagine an ummati, imagine a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine a person who believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person who has brought iman upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he recites durood, when he recites salam, when he recites salutations, when he holds gatherings in the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will surely remember that as well. So if you recite with sincerity, if you recite with ikhlas, if you recite with the utmost respect, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will remember that salat and will also remember you as well. Yes, my dear viewers of Madri channel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows you and the name of your father and your progeny. As it has been stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a special angel. And the duty of this angel is stationed at the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madinah. And what is the job of this angel? The job of this angel is that any person from any corner of the world, in any language, in any circumstance, in any condition, when he recites durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this angel with that person's name along with his father's name presents that durood and salam in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this is the status of an angel, if this is the status of a slave, if this is the status of a creation which is not the best of creation, then what would be the status of the best of creation? Ashraful makhluqat, Imamul Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Undoubtedly the Prophet has more knowledge than anybody on this earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about us more than we know ourselves. The Prophet knows us more than we know our parents. So this is the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like this, in this brand new program on Madani channel, we are going to discuss the lives of the Anbiya, the lives of the Prophets, and try to take out lessons which they left in their lives, try to adopt their lifestyle, talk about what they went through, what difficulties they went through, what life decisions they had to make, how Allah Ta'ala bestowed them, how Allah Ta'ala blessed their nations, how Allah Ta'ala tormented their nations, how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave them miracles. All of these things will be discussed in this beautiful program. And the beauty of the Prophets is that in the religion of Islam, the beauty of Islam is that where we have directly brought iman upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is necessary and obligatory upon us to have iman upon every single other prophet that came. And this has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first chapter, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Translation, and those who believe in what has been sent to you, meaning what has been sent to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what was sent down from before you, and in the hereafter, they are firmly the believers. Meaning where we believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where we believe in the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is also necessary upon us to believe in what was sent before him, meaning those anbiya who came before him, those prophets that came before him, those rasuls that came before him, those scriptures that came before him. We as Muslims have to believe in those. And I think this is the beauty of Islam, that other religions, when they have a prophet, they're only limited to that prophet. They do not care if other prophets around them, their names are being tarnished or disrespected. But Islam is such a beautiful religion that not only does it uphold the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even if it's the prophets of the other religions who we have faith in, we will protect their honor as well. And this is a sign of truth, that we believe in everything which has been sent by God. We believe in everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the shape of books, in the shape of anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why is it important for us to know the lives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Why is it important for us to know the lives of the anbiya, the previous prophets? Now the scholars have written that there are many reasons a person must study the previous anbiya. Even in the Quran, if you look in the Quran, there are various points in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to previous nations, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to previous anbiya, previous prophets, and tells us how we can take heed from those, tells us and gives us advice how we should act in certain circumstances. Just as it is important for a person to know the zat and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize his Lord, because the more a person recognizes his Lord, the more safe he is in making a mistake in knowing his Lord. Similarly, the person who has more knowledge about the anbiya, the person who has more knowledge about the prophets, the person who is more educated, who is more intellectually available in these cases, he is more protected in this. So what is a Nabi and what is a Rasul? The first question that we need to ask ourselves is, if you are going to study the life of the anbiya and the Rasul, then who are these individuals? What are the definition of these words that we speak? People hear the word Nabi, people hear the word Rasul, but majority of the people do not know the definition of these. So a Nabi, it has been stated in Bukhari Sharia that a Nabi refers to that human upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a wahi for the purpose of guidance. And a Rasul is not only specific to human, as there can be angels who are Rasul. Are those who bring a new scripture, who bring a new sharia with them. What is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? A Nabi refers to that human whom Allah Ta'ala has sent down with wahi, with revelation for the purpose of guidance. And a Rasul is that individual who Allah Ta'ala has also sent down revelation, wahi, for the purpose of guidance. But the small difference is a Rasul has been given a new sharia. He has been given a new method of law. He has been given a new way for his people. And Nabis sometimes carry on the sharia of Rusuls. However, a Rusul is someone who brings a new sharia. And also Rusuls and Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they have never been from the nation of Jinnat. They have never been jinns. All the prophets and Anbiya, all the Rusuls and Anbiya, they have always been from the humankind, mankind, and more specifically, they have always been men. There's countless wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, whilst we study the lives of the Prophet, there will be many points of wisdom, there will be many secrets will be revealed to us as to why Allah ta'ala does things in certain ways. Remember, as humans, we do not need clarification for every single thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does or has commanded us to do. Yet at various points, he sometimes reveals his wisdom so mankind knows that the reason for something happening, for the reason for Allah Ta'ala doing something in a certain way, has wisdom behind it, has hikmah behind it. Remember, Allah Ta'ala is not obliged to do anything. Allah Ta'ala was not obliged to send any prophets. Allah Ta'ala did not have to send down any prophets. Yet it is from the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala revealed prophets through which we get to know Allah. We as humans, non-prophets, we do not have the power, we do not have the capability to directly link ourselves with Allah. And Allah knew this, so the reason Allah Ta'ala sent prophets, Allah Ta'ala sent Nabis, Allah Ta'ala sent Rusuls, is so that we can recognize Him, is so that we do not destroy ourselves in knowing Him. Yet when the prophets and the Anbiya and the Rusul come, through their wisdoms, through their teachings, through their knowledge, we get to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And there are many ways Allah Ta'ala, He communicates or He sends His message down. And one of the most famous ones is Allah Ta'ala reveals scriptures to His prophets. Now, for example, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala revealed the book upon Dawood, meaning the book came directly to him. So there was no interaction, there was no, a breaking point between the message from Allah Ta'ala to the Prophet alayhi salam. However, in the case of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what do we see? That Allah Ta'ala sent His message to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the state that Ibrahim was asleep. Meaning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a dream. He had three dreams in which Allah Ta'ala told him to, I won't reveal too much because we still have the episode in which we will cover the lives of Sayyidina Ibrahim and Sayyidina Ismail. But Allah Ta'ala communicated with Dawood directly. He put the book in his heart. With Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala revealed to him in the state of sleep. In the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was interacted through the means of an angel, meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also given wahi, he was also given a revelation in the state of sleep. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is a speciality, that on the night of Mi'raj, Allah Ta'ala gave direct commandments and orders to him there as well. This is one of the reasons that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is more superior to other Anbiya. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Remember all the books which have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the scriptures which have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all true. They are all haq. They are all the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason that we have to believe in them. We do not believe in the new tampered versions, but we believe in those original books which came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important point that we need to keep in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed scriptures in the past to different prophets and different anbiya, and we believe in those as well. And the beauty of the Quran, which I would say is also a miracle of the Quran, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Himself taken the responsibility to protect this book. In the previous scriptures, this guarantee was not there. Meaning Allah Ta'ala Himself did not take a responsibility to protect those scriptures. He left them in the hands of mankind. Yet in the state of the Quran, when it comes to the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility of protecting it Himself. And He says in the Quran translation, "Verily we have revealed the Quran. Verily we have revealed the divine message. And indeed we are its protector." And subhanAllah, this is something which should strengthen our faith, that even after 1400 years ago, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam verbally spoke the Quran, when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, up until now, there is not a single letter, there is not a single harf, there is not a single harakat, there is nothing in the Quran which has been changed. There is nothing in the Quran which has been tampered with. And the beauty is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved this book in the hearts of millions. Meaning if you do not have the physical copy in front of us today, within a split moment, within 5 minutes, within even less than that, we are able to compile the whole Quran back. Why? Because from children, from the age of 4 or 5, up until adults, elders at the age of 80, 90, Allah Ta'ala has safeguarded the Quran in their hearts. Meaning they know the Quran from cover to cover. What we in our language call the Huffaz, Hafiz of the Quran, the protector. You know the word Hafiz? It means the protector of the Quran. We use it as memorizer, but the literal definition is a protector. They protect the Quran. They protect the Quran in their hearts. So this is why as Muslims, you should never have doubt in your religion. Why? Because we have a scripture which we can prove, which we can rationally prove that this is the word of God and everything in it is the truth. It is not the topic today. I will save it for some other time, but it is important to know that those scriptures which came to the prophets, they were the truth. Allah Ta'ala sent them directly. There was no flaw in them. There was no doubt in them. There was nothing wrong with them. Allah Ta'ala sent those to the prophets and we believe in those as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, another thing that is very important, we would say it is a pillar of our belief, it is a part of our aqidah, is that the anbiya, the prophets of Allah, the specifically chosen people of Allah Ta'ala, they are ma'soom. The word ma'soom means that an individual who is incapable of committing a sin, meaning that person, he does not have the power to commit a sin. Remember, except the prophets and the angels, there is nobody on the face of this earth who is ma'soom. There is nobody except the prophet and the angels who do not have the ability to commit a sin. However, the sahaba, the awliya, the pious bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are what we call mahfuz. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them in a special manner that they do not commit sins. Meaning the anbiya, they do not have the ability to commit a sin, whereas everybody else has the ability to commit a sin, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects some people from making mistakes or committing sins. So this is a very important distinction that you need to keep in mind, as only the anbiya and the angels are ma'soom. And what does it mean by mahfuz? There are different interpretations of what the word mahfuz means. Some scholars say that the word mahfuz means that if a person who is protected by Allah to commit a sin and he does something wrong, Allah Ta'ala will immediately instill in his heart to make tawbah and come back to the straight path. Meaning he will not stay adamant upon that sin. Or another meaning, it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the desire of sins from that individual's heart. He still has the ability, but Allah Ta'ala has removed that desire from his heart. This is the distinction between the two. The anbiya and the angels are ma'soom, and the sahaba and the awliya and the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are mahfuz. So do not get this twisted. Do not hear about different opinions about this person's ma'soom, this person's ma'soom. No, only the prophets and the angels are ma'soom. Along with that, there has been many prophets. Yes, there has been numerous prophets, but we do not have the right to put a number on this. Meaning you hear some people when they're talking about the anbiya, they give a specific number. They say there's this amount of number, or there's X amount of number, or there's Y amount of number. Why is this problematic? The reason this is problematic is you might include somebody in prophethood with that number who is not a prophet. Or you might take somebody out of prophethood who should be in prophethood. And due to this reason, we do not give a specific number about the prophets. We just say all the prophets which came from Allah, we believe in every single one of them. Why? Because another aqidah, another belief is that once a person has been given prophethood, prophethood cannot be taken from him. Meaning if Allah Ta'ala has sent a revelation, has sent a wahi upon a Nabi, now that Nabi can never become a ghair Nabi. That prophet can never become a non-prophet. So that's why it's very important that we do not give a specific number. We do not say there's X amount of prophets. Why? Because there could be more, there could be less. So the safe opinion, the safe side is to just say that I believe in all the prophets, in all the rusul, in all the anbiya which Allah Ta'ala has sent. And that is the safest of opinion. Along with that, one very more important, you could say, aqidah or belief about the anbiya is that the final prophet, that the final Nabi, that the final Rasul, that the door of prophethood is shut upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we also know as Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that there is not any possibility, there is no chance, there is no whatever word you want to use, possibility, criteria, nothing left, that once the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam came into this world, the door of prophethood is shut. No more prophets are going to come. No more anbiya are going to come. No more rusul are going to come. No one is going to get wahi after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something that you need to teach yourself. You need to keep it firm in your mind. You need to teach it to your children. You need to instill it in the hearts of your children that whatever they might hear, wherever they go, one thing which will be in their heart is that there is no prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is not any possibility. And if anybody believes that somebody can come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if somebody asks a man to show a miracle that if he is a prophet, then in both of these cases, he has left the fold of Islam. Because when you ask somebody for proof of wahi, then if you believe that maybe he has the ability to show you, then this is not allowed. So a person must know with his whole heart, with his intellect, and he must teach his children that the door of prophethood is shut after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it is impossible, it is not allowed for anybody to be a prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many prophets, some which have been explicitly mentioned in the Quran, some have been mentioned in other narrations, some have been mentioned in previous scriptures, but some names we have of the prophets which have been clearly mentioned in the Quran. For example, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salam, Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ilyas alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, Sayyidina Dhul-Kifl alayhi salam, Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. These are some of the prophets who have been explicitly mentioned in the Quran. There have been other prophets who have been indicated to us. There have been other prophets who have been mentioned in narrations. There have been other prophets who have been mentioned in previous scriptures. But these blessed personalities have been mentioned clearly in the Quran. And something beautiful comes into mind that most of the names that I have mentioned here, we know somebody with this name. Or we, our children, or we might, ourselves might have this name. And this shows the beauty of Islam, that where the Islam loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it also respects and honors the previous Anbiya. And some people who like to give ideas for names, I have mentioned a long list of names in front of you. Maybe you can even choose some of the unique names from here. For example, Sayyidina Dhul-Kifl alayhi salatu wasalam. And you can name maybe your child or somebody else's child. You can recommend this name to somebody as well. And this is a sign of love. Why? Because you are naming your child after somebody you love as well. Like this, the legacy stays on. Like this, the remembrance of the Anbiya stays on as well. So this was a short briefing in relation to the Anbiya and who are they, what beliefs we should have in relation to them, how we should talk about them, how much respect and honor we should have for them. And inshallah, in the upcoming episodes, we will either talk about one prophet in one episode, or those prophets who we have been given great detail in, we will cover their lives and the affairs of their lives over the matter of a couple of episodes. And I would just like to say that Mufti Qasim, Hafizahullah, he has made a very beautiful book. We do not have authentic scripture, we do not have an authentic book in relation to the seerahs of the prophets alayhim as-salams, but this is the blessings of your Dawat-e Islami. This is the blessings of your Madani Merkaz that they provided the tools to Mufti Qasim with which he wrote a very beautiful book. I wouldn't be mistaken to say that Siratul Anbiya is one of the most authentic books of seerahs of the Prophet in the Urdu language. And inshallah, when you watch this, or maybe very soon, it will also be available in English. And like this, you will be able to illuminate your hearts with the seerahs of the prophets, with the lives of the prophets, and you will be able to improve your life as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to learn the lives of the Anbiya, adopt their lives, their manners, the goodness from them, and spread it on to our fellow Muslims. Ameen bijahi nabi al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.